Call to order assembly meeting in the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska on January 26, 2016 at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by assembly member Mark Mitchell, after which Nettie Colwell will give the invocation if you remain standing, please. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you we can meet openly and publicly. Be with all the people involved with this meeting tonight, that the good of all is considered. And we ask for, we are continually thankful for those who are out in weather, making things safe and functional for us, especially the line crew and the harbor people. And be with all those people who found trees too close or in the wrong place this morning when they woke up. Be with everyone here as they do the work that you have done for this city, and be with them and see them safely home. Your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake.
Here.
Prasanka.
Here.
Rooney. Decker. Howe.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Amendments to the agenda. Consent agenda.
Make a motion we accept items 6A, 7A, 7B, and 7C.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell.
Yes.
Mitchell.
Yes.
Blake.
Yes.
Prasanka.
Yes.
And Mayor Jack.
Yes. Item 8, borough manager's report.
The only thing I have to report is that the weather in Hawaii was 80 degrees.
I don't want to hurt.
Anyway, nice, so actually, that's about it. I just got in Friday and come to the office, and a half hour later, I was at the hospital. So anyway, I'm back to work. So I don't have a lot else.
Okay. Borough clerk's file.
Oh, we have Robert.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
The hospital CEO was going to report under my.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. I flipped it. Sorry.
Okay. If you'd come forward and give me a report, please.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. So, 90 days in the job, I figured at least I'd what I've been doing for the past 3 months. I want to report that our finances are actually getting a little better. We closed out the month of December, which is under $800,000. Part of our challenges currently are that we do have Medicaid's having some challenges again with their system, and so unfortunately that's affecting us along with pretty much every facility in the state. So we've got some challenges that wouldn't have been for that, we would have probably broke the 1 million mark. We rolled out an employee engagement survey to kind of figure out where our baseline was and kind of get an opportunity to look where our areas of improvement were at, and we rolled out a game plan as far as addressing that. What was interesting is one of the areas that we scored very high compared to national averages for our benefits and compensation areas. So I was very glad to see that the staff's pretty happy with the benefits they're getting. We do have a new nurse manager, our chief nursing officer. Sherry started her job in the middle of December and has already hired some folks to get the travelers that we've got in house to replace so that we can have some local folks and not be spending so much on those expenses. This week we officially rolled out a resident satisfaction with our long-term care survey, looking at whether their satisfaction is an area of improvement for long-term care residents. As far as a new building project, a couple of things I want to share is we have a Corps of Engineer permit that is expected to expire in March, in the process of getting that renewed with an extension for another 5 years. And we submitted finalized the application with the Fort Group Redevelopment. They didn't have a full quorum for December, so they're looking at our application for this month. I should hear from them in the next week or two whether they accepted our request. With that, if you guys have any questions,
I just have a question. I understand that the physical therapist is leaving?
Pardon me?
The physical therapist is leaving, is that correct?
We do have, yeah, Aaron Pearson, yeah, he's no longer with us. He resigned at the beginning of the month. We do still have physical therapy in-house, but there wasn't the physical therapist in the building. So we still have a full complement of rehab services. We still have DT, OT, and speech.
I have one. I understand that you're in the process of changing recruiters to try to up get more permanent doctors here. How's that going?
Working with ASC, physicians actually work with AIDS, and so under their contract, we're working with them as they recruit. Currently, there have been some inquiries, but no actual hard interest at this point.
Thank you. Okay, Borough Clerk, Sonia.
Okay, other than what's in my report, I did send something out. I was having an issue with my email last week. I'm not sure if everybody got it, but we have invited Cynthia Franklin, the director of the Alcohol, Beverage, and Marijuana Control Boards, to come and give her presentation. And she's going to do that on March 1st. And I'm just going to take a second and read what it is exactly for the public. So the presentation is an update on the Marijuana Control Board and its regulations project to begin licensing commercial marijuana establishments in Alaska. There will be information on rules regarding each license type, as well as an updated timeline for licensing activities. So I'm encouraging everybody to attend. I contacted Petersburg and invited anybody from over there if they want to come over. It's going to be at the Nolan Center. It's at 5:30 on March 1st. And for anybody in the public, if they wish to meet with her ahead of time, before that meeting on that day, just contact me and I'll set that up. So,
have you invited anyone from Ketchikan?
No, because I believe they got to see the presentation, if I'm not mistaken. They had Southeast Conference, Carol, or AML, one of them were there. I think they got to see that. But I can, but I don't know if they want to.
Well, I think it would be a nice gesture just to invite them. If they don't want to come, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, just be a nice gesture.
Sure, I can do that. The more the merrier.
Sure.
That's all I have.
Oh, thank you. Okay, item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Are there any reports by any assembly member?
I would just like to thank the line crew and city personnel that were up late last night taking care of things around town while we were all just listening to the wind. They were out there experiencing. I drove out the road today and sort of took a look at some of the damage and the amount of trees that were down and coming across guardrails. And I really appreciate the work that the city crews do. And I think everybody in town feels the same way. They wake up, have power on, and things cleaned up and already started. And then I saw them over working on the house that had the trees falling on it today. And, you know, it's nice that we have a community that takes care of folks like that. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Anything else?
We dropped two in Metlakatla, but I don't want to talk about that, okay?
Appointments to fill the vacancies on various city boards, committees, and commissions. We have received a letter, actually two letters, from Roland Howell, who has submitted a letter of interest for the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then also one for the Economic Development Committee. And I noticed that those letters were dated the same day, so I assume that he has an interest to serve on both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a punch. Yeah. So I'm going ahead and appoint him to each of those respective committees. And we have no letters of interest on any of the other. We still have a seat on the Planning and Zoning and the Economic Development Committee, and two on the Nolan Board. So if anyone has an interest in any of those, certainly appreciate letting us know. Okay, the next item is that we have a vacancy on the Hospital Board. And we have no letters of interest on that, so we're continuing on that. Okay, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the public or the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will have an opportunity to speak on it. You will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding that item. You understand that unless you can speak now under persons to be heard, and then when the item comes up, you can't get up and say, want to speak again, unless an assembly member has specific questions. Okay. And the first one is Jim Shoemaker.
Good evening. My name is Jim Shoemaker. I reside at 1048 Zenobia Highway. And I'm here to speak on item 13A. I researched, right now I'm a city planning and zoning commissioner. And in regards to 13A, while it was at planning and zoning, I didn't participate, and that's one of the reasons that it took so long for it to get to this body. I have a conflict of interest defined by personal gain coming out of this on the other half of Lisa's household right now. I did prepare all the paperwork, all the purchase agreements, those types of things. So I excused myself at planning and zoning level to make sure that there was no misconception in terms of impropriety or an abundance of caution right now, just to make sure that people thought it was a fair process. But now that it's reached the assembly level, I just wanted to add a couple of comments in relationship to Lisa's earlier testimony today. One of the punitive things that comes back out in terms of the additional 25 feet buffer, and it was alluded to, and it was a dollar figure that was given to that. The math, in terms of arriving at that one right now, is that the linear outside boundaries are approximately 1,800 linear feet. But if you go back in and you subtract overlaps, you subtract road easements, and anything else that may pop up, we took that 1,800 linear feet and reduced it to about 1,600. We think that's a realistic number right now, so that we didn't overstate the value. But when you go back and you take 25 feet in terms of the linear foot by the 25 feet, you end up with approximately 45,000 square feet. For those of you that don't remember math, 45,560 feet equals an acre. And so it's real close to an acre. When the city came out with some of the property earlier, we took some numbers from when the city was advertising, and so we placed a square footage value based upon that. And that's how we ended up with an excess of $55,000 if, in addition to the other additional required 25 feet worth of buffer right now. And so we look at that as somewhat punitive right now in terms of the sale of the property. If it's enacted, it will probably kill the sale. I don't think I would be willing to give up an additional acre coming out of 6.88 acres on something that I cannot use. When you look at the intended use, we're not talking about rock crusher, we're not talking about recycling facilities, sand and gravel operations, cement. We're talking about a pretty benign operation right now. We'd like you to take that into consideration. One of the earlier statements that Lisa had said was, it was brought back up in the planning and zoning meeting, and I didn't participate, but when she brought forward her concern in terms of the additional requirement, the additional 25 feet, the Planning and Zoning Commission was willing to reconsider. There is no guarantee that they would have gone back and removed that consideration. But after her testimony in terms of what it was going to cost, they were willing to go back and reconsider it. But because you're going to go back and change something that had already been enacted upon, it was going to take another public meeting. And we have struggled, and we're really thankful here that there's another participant in this meeting on planning and zoning, because I've had to bow out of several of these, and it keeps getting pushed forward right now because we didn't have enough members for a quorum. So anyway, as you take a look at it, take it in its entirety. We think that it was a fair proposal that came back from WCA. They're willing to bring it back before the PMZ, before the assembly right now, and let you have one more swing at it before you actually approve it. But they want to know that there's maybe an intent given once a complete plan is submitted. You understand where they're going to put stuff, how it's going to be put in, where it's going to be located on the lot. So we're asking that you take that into consideration with perhaps conditional approval. Any questions?
Nothing's this time. Thank you. No, you have a question?
Yeah. Okay, so let me just make sure I understand what you just said there. You are saying that this group could come back and say 25 feet is appropriate, not 50, but there's a commitment by the tribal government to bring their plans forward back to both bodies prior to proceeding forward. And that if we at that point saw that a building was close to a property line or there was something that made us uncomfortable, we could revisit it at that point.
And I just want to verify in terms of the bill, because I believe that was in their original proposal. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So are you saying that you don't want 25 foot either, or you just don't want the additional 25 feet?
Additional 25.
Okay.
When you go back and you look under existing columns,
25 foot, okay. Yeah.
Everyone knows that. You know, there's a need for it. And people know that going in when you start looking at property purchases and how they're going to be able to utilize it. The additional 25 came out of the grant.
Okay, so the other question I have is what you just said, going in and buying property, and you're going in to buy a piece of property, and you know what you're going into, right? Okay, so, and I'm not saying one way or the other, I'm listening to everything. Under Bruce's thing, he bought a piece of property knowing it was single residential. So now you're asking us to make it non-single residential, but he bought it 6 months ago knowing that all those lots at one time were single residential. And I'm just saying, so you're asking us to change something that he also thought what he was buying was single residential, but now you're asking us to change it and say it's not.
Correct. However, when you go back in and you put in residential right now, there is no requirement for a buffer.
And I understand that. I understand, like Bruce said earlier, and I mean, I've heard all the story and all the stuff and everything, and I agree. I would have to agree with Bruce that I would rather have one entity there than 25 neighbors that might have 27,000 screaming kids or whatever all night long. I mean, it might be a lot better thing for him to have this. So, I mean, I understand that. And that's what I just wanted to clarify, that you understand he bought property thinking that he had all residential. So.
My question is, Bruce, you bought a lot that borders this. Is there any other lots that haven't been built that border this besides Bruce's?
No, there's not.
Okay, we're getting a little out of sight of the public, the persons to be heard. Getting into the item itself. And you can, when we get to that item, then you can ask Bruce at that time.
Okay. I'll wait a minute. What other options they offer for observation from the floor. Jeff went to Hawaii, came back, and went to the hospital the same day he got back. I'm hoping he's out of workers' comp claim. And then clearly something about sunburn at this point.
I'm not saying a thing.
Okay, Lisa Torgerson, you wish to speak on the subject again?
No, I don't, but I was advised to keep my options open, so I put my name on the list.
Okay. I'm sure there will be a question. Unfinished business, we have none. Under new business, item 13A, request for a contract zone for a light industrial use for a transportation office, storage and equipment maintenance area on a portion of remainder lot A2, Torgerson Smith subdivision, more specifically on the lot area as described as proposed remainder lot A2 in the proposed Torgerson-Glassner subdivision, zone single-family residential, requested by Wrangell Cooperative Association transportation manager William Willard, owned by Lisa Torgerson.
Move to approve a contract zone for light industrial use of a transportation office, storage and equipment maintenance area on a portion of lot A2, Torgerson Smith subdivision, and the following conditions to be added to the contract. 1. Planning and zoning review and approve the site plan, and 2. Require indoor storage, and 3. 50-foot minimum green belt buffers on highway and adjacent properties, and 4. Lighting that will not affect adjacent neighbors.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? You can ask for
Well, I think we need all the business we can get, and I think we need to provide that. We've got spaces all over that are empty. This is a vacant lot. This would be a good use for it. I personally don't see a problem with it. I do see if Bruce has got a problem with it being 25 foot isn't enough. My suggestion was let's drop the 50 foot and just put the extra 50 around Bruce's lot only instead of the whole property line. And drop the indoor storage part, the lighting, I don't think we have a problem with.
Are you making an amendment to the motion?
Can we discuss?
We're discussing right now.
So yeah, let's discuss.
Let's wait for the amendment until we hash this out.
I like that idea.
Mayor.
Okay, go ahead.
Bruce, I'm looking at the map here. Where is the lot located that you had purchased?
Could you
come around here?
Could you go up to the blackboard there and draw this to me,
Bruce, to scale
where it's supposed to be? You know, you don't have to be an artist to do it. Just
or you can use this,
Bruce. You can look at this right here, but I believe this is his lot.
That'd be,
it's,
yes.
You know, I'm confused as to what's Lisa's house.
The better boundary is just this
okay,
right here.
Oh, here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Don't use that one. Use this one. Where's the drawing?
That's it. Right here.
Right here.
Yes.
So there's an existing house. This is the lot here. So he's got a driveway coming up, and then this is his building site here.
This is Bruce's.
This is Bruce's, and this is
the... Okay, that's what I was...
And you're going to have one more for Mr. Shoemaker.
So you're done with Bruce?
Yes.
Now he wants Mr. Shoemaker back up.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, now that I know which lot is Bruce's, do you know what the linear feet is on the side that borders his lot, how much that would be?
When you go back and you take a look at the plat coming back in, there's three measurements that are inside of it right now. One of them is 200, the other one is 200, the other one is 183. So I think you're looking at 583 feet in terms of linear space.
Okay.
If you go back and do the math, and you take 583 and multiply it by 25, and you start doing that.
But that he's asking about just on Bruce's property line only.
That's correct.
Yes.
But your town
583 feet from here to there.
Ordinance, and already you have 25. That's a given.
Right.
but the additional 25 feet is still going to be, and to actually, to be honest with you, you got subtract 50 feet, you have overlap on your perpendicular lines coming back, so actually, it comes back down to 528 or something, 523 feet, and then 508. But if you take that and you multiply it out, and if you apply approximately $1.25 right now in terms of the feet that you're going to subtract, in some certain circles, that's some serious beer money. Mine.
But you're not talking $50,000 now.
No, we're not.
Well, yes.
No, that is correct. I guess my comment right now is that, and again, if you can reserve judgment in terms of that, and I realize that, that it's open for discussion, but if WCA comes back with a completed plan that shows so that you can see the effects of what a 25 foot may be or what a 50 foot may be, and hold judgment at that point in time, again, you get another swing at the pinata at this point in time. I think it would be maybe prudent to let WCA know that it may be a consideration, and they could go back and put a contingency in. But before you institute that, I would really ask them to take a look at it. It's an entire group.
The other question that I had for you, this buffer, disregarding 25 feet or 50 feet, what does the buffer itself consist of? Is that planted greenery? Is it just open space? What is it?
According to ordinance right now, if you go back under, I think it's 052 or 200 right now, they give you a definition. It can either be vegetation or it can actually be fence. The minimum height requirement right now is 8 feet when you go back. If you go back and you walk the existing property right now, between Bruce's property and the subject property right now, it's all forest. We're not talking about little shrubs and those types of things. Right now, we're talking about some full-grown trees. And you know, the intent is to offer the buffer right now. And if there were noise issues or other concerns right now, I can see that. But if you have a dividing line of 25 feet with the forest, I don't imagine that's pretty much from here to ball in terms of that. So, you know, if we could take a look at it and then wait for WCA to complete a plan, we were talking about bringing in a landscape person to do the actual design. They don't really know where they can build right now. Glasner, who's on the other side of it right now, and that in itself has been a challenge. There's two public easements that run through it, and a third one that belongs to the Forest Service that was enacted in 1961. And we still have the water line from 1906. It's not even being used right now, and that easement's still in place right now. He's the guy that got really the short end of the whole thing at this point. But this is really how cookie crumbles. But take a look at it, and then before you pass judgment in terms of the 50, once they come back with the design and they show where their building's going to be, how it's going to go in, and even in terms of, they may have to excavate where it's going to take it down somewhere right now. If you look at Glasner, you can see that the excavation that had to take place right now in order to get that building into place, and there was a 25-foot cut that was inside of there. So again, the recommendation or the request to see it in its entirety, wait to see it, and then go walk it, and if it requires an additional 25 feet, bring it up at that time. As long as they know ahead of time that that may be a consideration, you know, they may have plan B in their hip pockets.
Right. Not so much directed toward you. If you want to sit down, that's fine.
Sure.
I'm leaning towards waiting to see how the tribal government decides that they would like to situate things when I look at it. Instead of putting a stipulation on immediately that removes land from their area. I appreciate Bruce's concerns, I really do. He's bought this residential piece of property and the game's changed, but by the same token, You know, I used to live above that propane tank over here, so I know well about light industrial in my backyard, or front yard as the case may be. But I would like to see what Bill and his crew comes up with in terms of plans and ideas before we go and put a stipulation on that can't be undone. We can always revisit this and put this back on if we are not convinced or happy that Bruce's interests would be protected. But I would sure hate to remove some functional property that may store something for them that maybe, I don't know, whatever, or cut out some access because we're worried about that. And I don't know what Bruce's plans are for building in terms of his lot and what his cut, if he's going to cut right to that property line and it's going to be bare bones, or if there's going to be a green belt for him too, that perhaps there's a combination of the two green belts make it appropriate for everybody. But I'd sure hate to take action that removes options. I would rather us leave the options on the table and revisit once we know how the heck this thing's going to lay out.
Well, I agree with Steve. Looking at this lot of Bruce's, it looks like that narrow slice is going to be your driveway going in. And so there really wouldn't make much sense to leave a 50-foot buffer along the driveway. So I agree with Steve. Let's see how they, and if the yard is somewhere off of that line, I don't know that it would affect it. So I agree with you. Let's see where they put their site plan. And let's not put the restrictions on it now and revisit it.
I'd like to go ahead and make an amendment to the motion. Let item number one, the planning and zoning review, stand. Remove the indoor storage requirement because at this point it's too vague. And remove the 50-foot green belt buffer. Take it back to the standard 25 feet until we see what happens. And then leave the lighting as it is.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amended motion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now when we make this a motion here and you put that, like Steve was saying, we can't take anything back. Is this something that we can take back from this later on?
So once it comes back, if the amendment's approved and then the motion as amended, it's done. If you want to have it go back to planning and zoning and then come back, then my recommendation would be to postpone this item until such time as planning and zoning has had an opportunity to review the plan, and then
we can do that.
Mark, can I ask a question of an assembly member? Is that appropriate?
Sure, go ahead.
Mark, you've sat in on these meetings. What was the intention of the indoor storage? Was it that everything be housed in there, or what was?
Well, I wasn't in on the meeting, but I talked to Lisa about it, and yeah, all large equipment was supposed to be housed inside of it. The only problem with going back and sending this back to the P&Z is they sent it to us because they couldn't make that decision. Is that right, Carol?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can clarify why it's in front of us then.
All right. The reason why it's in front of you all is the Planning and Zoning Commission made their decision with those four conditions. After that decision was made, the letters came in from Mr. Abramson and Rainbow Cooperative Association requesting the reconsideration for that reduction. In the meantime, it had passed the deadline date for the December meeting. So when it finally came to Planning and Zoning Commission for their approval of their findings of facts, in order for them to reconsider that 50-foot buffer back down to the 25-foot buffer, we would have had to have re-noticed it as a public hearing again, because this requires a public hearing decision. And so my recommendation to the commission was stick with the decision that you have made if time is of the urgency, of which I was under the impression that they wanted to move this forward. And so, yes, P&Z had talked about at the meeting that came up, maybe we should reconsider this, but that's when I had stepped in and said, you need to come back to a public hearing meeting to reconsider it, or you can forward on those letters and your recommendation as is. And so that's why it's before you guys, and P&Z did not reconsider the issue.
Thanks, Carol.
Also, can I clarify one more thing? The property line between Bruce Smith and the Ram Quadrant is 465 feet.
Okay, Carol, but, and you just said that if we vote on this, it's done, it's over with.
If you vote on this, you're approving the contract zone. However, if it goes back to planning and zoning has to approve
the building,
the site plan. So, I mean, I've never been in a situation.
Okay, so you can, oh, you go ahead, talk first. Okay, so what I just got from us, a little bit here, between all of this here, is that we wanted to see this go back and see a plan before we did anything.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's what you just said.
Well, no, I don't, we need to approve this and get it going down the road for them and then let it go to P&Z for the approval of a site plan, is the way I understand this.
Well, if we approve it, we're approving the stipulations that planning and zoning has enumerated here.
I think our issue is that we're trying to set up too many stipulations on, but if this doesn't happen, this, but I think we just keep the amendment that's there, which is that the indoor storage is, that basically, it seems unreasonable to me that we're saying that everything has to be stored inside, and so nebulous. I just take that out, and I would go to the 25 minimum green belt. But we already have said that the tribal government is willing to have P&Z review their plan and decide if that's appropriate. And if my question, my thing would be that if it isn't, if it's too close to that property line, then we go to the 50 foot and you won't even see what's sitting out and not undercover anymore. You got 50 foot of green belt between you and your neighbor, not including whatever Bruce sticks there himself. So I think we don't want to put too many stipulations on, and then you got to do this and show us that and this. Let's keep the amendment simple.
Okay. So what do we do? Kim just told us that if we go to this amendment, it's done. We can't come back to it until the Anglo Cooperative Association that now we're going to impose a 50 footer.
No.
Am I correct?
No.
If the assembly approves the amendment, then approves the main motion as amended, then you're approving no required indoor storage and a 25 foot green belt, and it's approved. And then it has to go back to planning and zoning for them to approve the plan. And I'm not sure what planning and zoning, if they say no, we don't want that, and throws it back, I don't know what happens there. But as far as the assembly goes, and I'm not even sure if the assembly would have to approve it after that.
Typically, when
go ahead, Jeff.
The only other thing possibly is if you want those in the amendment, if you want those new conditions, and that's acceptable to the assembly, you might also have something in there that these are the conditions upon approval of the site plan by the planning and zoning. Add that to your motion. For another motion or whatever, but that way, if for some reason it isn't okay, or even that it needs to come back here, but I think having that condition in there, we want to do these things, whatever they are, and that on the condition that this and this happen, that it comes back to both the P&Z and the assembly, or.
So do we have to vote on the first motion?
Kim? I can have somebody make an amendment to the amendment.
Right. Yeah.
Before you do that, I believe what Jeff was saying is already in here, though. Number one, planning and zoning review and approve the site plan.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's already in there.
But if you've approved the, I guess they can say we don't approve the site plan, but I think if you want to reserve the right of the 50 foot and maybe the outside storage or whatever you changed, if you want to reserve those until you see the site plan and that's approved, I think you'd want to put that in there, that otherwise when you approve this, that is
okay.
Kind of cast in stone.
Right.